Welcome to T2Goa Bookmakers at T2Goa Bookmakers.podbean.com. Thanks for dropping by. This is December. Actually, it's February of 2018. However, I finished the book I'm talking about. Wait to the end to hear chapter one. 2017, and in November 2017, I finished NaNoWriMo. As you may know, NaNoWriMo is a one-month challenge for people who like to write a 50,000-word novel in 1 month. And I completed 51,000 words in the month, and the book is still not finished, but I plan to finish. It's almost finished. It's getting to maybe 60,000 words, and everything will be taken care of. This novel is very character-driven. It's very much a character novel. There's a plot. The plot is the good guy gets arrested for murder, and everybody else tries to figure out how to show that he is innocent. And there's a subplot, not a subplot, a motif, a sub-motif, a leitmotif, as you will, about chickens. Chickens, how they became chickens from velociraptors, dinosaurs from Jurassic Park type of velociraptors, and how they became domesticated and who ate the first egg. Whatever comes out of that chicken's butt, I'm going to eat. That's a joke from somebody whose name I'm trying to remember. Anyway, that's the leitmotif of who domesticated the first chicken and the fact that chickens are descendants from fairly vicious dinosaurs. Now, before I tell you the title of the book, please remember British English for roosters and chickens in general, and then you will probably figure out the name of the book. Plus, it's talking about the place where it is first thought that chickens were domesticated. This is in dispute. One place where the chicken may have been domesticated is in China, and one is in what is now Pakistan. I have chosen the one in Pakistan just because I like the name of the city, Mohenjo-daro. It doesn't exist anymore. It stopped existing about 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, and they domesticated a chicken about 6,000 or maybe 7,000 years ago. The city in China says it's 7,000 or 8,000 or 9,000 years ago, but let's get back to roosters and chickens and how we say these things and what happened when it crowed in the Bible. Yes, the name of the novel is The City of Cocks. Yes, roosters. We're talking about chickens, the City of Cocks, and there are approximately 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 major characters and a ghost. The major character is a poet who is also an alcoholic, of course. I think that goes together. The main character is a poet. The character who gets arrested is a businessman of some sort. And his wife is a letterpress printer. And there's a lawyer who reads books about chicken domestication. And there's some other characters, barflies and business people who all... I have tried to make this a very strong character novel. The characters, I think, are very strong, lively, alert, come-off-the-page type characters with a plot of saving this guy from jail. Anyway, it took me 1 month, NaNoWriMo, to finish 51,000 words. I think I'll probably finish it in 60,000 words, or maybe a little more, but in any case, it's yet another novel I have to bind. I've only got a whole bunch to do, and I don't have any time, but that's okay, because I enjoy writing, I enjoy working on things, and I have finished, just now, a calendar, diary, journal, schedule book for next year. Yes, in December, I finished it, and I have to give it to somebody in January. That's, like, really close. And now, chapter one of City of Cocks. The sound is humming tore into her skull like a dentist drill, revving up to clatter against her broken incisor, sans Novocaine. "What are you doing?" she demanded as she smothered her head beneath a pillow. "Enjoying the moment," he answered as he continued to grind his naked hips against her moist groin, each thrust thrusting him closer to completion. "Well, stop it. It's driving me nuts." "Speaking of, don't even go there. Don't even think about going there," she interrupted, noticing his rhythm was speeding up, his breathing heavier. "The end," she sighed, "was nigh. You never want to do what..." "Shut up." His teeth bit into her left shoulder, and she knew it was only a few moments before he would climax all over her stomach and would dribble onto the sheets. "Max is coming tomorrow," she blurted out. He raised himself up on his elbow as he continued driving himself in and out of her groin. "Is that why you're giving me morning sex? Did it work?" He pulled out and spewed his semen over her flat stomach, her breasts, and the sheets she had washed only yesterday, and collapsed on top of her, his weight pushing her into the mattress like the stones they used to press witches to death. "I guess," he said. He rolled off of her, but still tried to catch his breath. "How long?" She rolled to the nightstand to grab a handful of tissues. "Just a couple of days." "That's what you said last time, and he stayed a month." She dabbed at herself and looked at the stain spreading on the sheet. "Is it so bad that he stays that long? I mean, he's nice. He does work around the house. He drinks all our liquor and eats all our food." He wiped himself off with last night's underpants and got a different pair from the pile on the chair. "Did he finish his great American novel yet? You know he's a poet. I know he's a freeloader." She pulled his Washington State sweatshirt over her head, crumpled the tissues into a ball, gathered up the sheets, and headed out of the bedroom. "We're having lasagna for dinner tonight, so buy some good Italian wine on your way home, okay?" "Okay," he said as he pulled his cleanest dirty jeans on and scrounged around for a shirt that said, "I'm serious, but still a hippie at heart." "And not that crap you bought last time," she yelled as she slipped into the bathroom for a quick shower. She hoped he would be dressed and gone by the time she finished. That way, she could avoid fixing him anything for breakfast or listen to his damn humming. "Dee dee 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 dee. What was it? Brazilian?" "Costa Rican," he yelled, and slipped the loose change into his pocket. He looked out the window at the mountain in the distance, the row of beehives etching the edge of a field of tulips in the middle distance, and their unused powerboat rusting away in their backyard. When they bought it, they had dreams. Dreams of cruising the coast, dreams of exploring uninhabited inlets. He grabbed his wallet. He thought about opening the bathroom door, slipping an arm around his lovely wife, and giving her a hug. "Gotta go," he yelled at the bathroom door. "'Kay," she yelled back from the shower, her right index and middle fingers finishing a job started 20 minutes earlier. "Don't forget the wine." "Okay," he yelled, and she knew he was irritated at being reminded twice about something he would probably forget. She decided to buy a bottle herself. She heard the front door close and his diesel Benz start up. He let it idle for a minute or two, and then she heard its tires roll out on the gravel driveway. And then silence, except for her breathing getting faster and heavier, and the shower's warm water clattering against her naked shoulders before swirling down the drain. And that's the end of Chapter 1 of City of Cox.
Thanks for dropping by. Thanks. See you next time.